Savitri, Book 10, The Book of the Double Twilight, Canto 1, The Dream Twilight of the Ideal. All still was darkness, dread and desolate. There was no change nor any hope of change. In this black dream, which was a house of void, a walk to nowhere in a land of naught, ever they drifted without aim or goal. Gloom led to worse gloom, depth to an emptier depth, in some positive non-being's purposeless vast, through formless wastes, dumb and unknowable. An ineffectual beam of suffering light, through the despairing darkness, dogged their steps like the remembrance of a glory lost. Even while it grew, it seemed unreal there, yet haunted Nihil's chill, stupendous realm, unquenchable, perpetual, lonely, null, a pallid ghost of some dead eternity. It was as if she must pay now her debt, her vain presumption to exist and think, to some brilliant Maya that conceived her soul. This most she must absolve with endless pangs, her deep original sin, the will to be, and the sin, last, greatest, the spiritual pride that, made of dust, equal itself with heaven, its scorn of the worm writhing in the mud, condemned, ephemeral, born from nature's dream, refusal of the transient creature's role, the claim to be a living fire of God, the will to be immortal and divine. In that tremendous darkness, heavy and bare, she atoned for all, since the first act whence sprang the error of the consciousness of time, the rending of the inconscient seal of sleep, the primal and unpardoned revolt that broke the peace and silence of the nothingness, which was before a seeming universe, appeared in a vanity of imagined space, and life arose, engendering grief and pain. A great negation was the real's face, prohibiting the vain process of time. And when there is no world, no creature more, when time's intrusion has been blotted out, it shall last, unbodied, saved from thought, at peace. Accursed in what had been her Godhead source, condemned to live forever, empty of bliss, her immortality, her chastisement, her spirit, guilty of being, wandered, doomed, moving forever through eternal night. But Maya is a veil of the absolute. A truth occult has made this mighty world. The eternal's wisdom and self-knowledge act in ignorant mind and in the body steps. The inconscient is the superconscient sleep. An unintelligible intelligence invents creation's paradox profound. Spiritual thought is crammed in matter's forms. Unseen, it throws out a dumb energy and works a miracle by a machine. All here is a mystery of contraries. Darkness, a magic of self-hidden light. Suffering, some secret rapture's tragic mask, and death, an instrument of perpetual life. although death walks beside us on life's road, a dim bystander at the body's start, and a last judgment on man's futile works, other is the riddle of its ambiguous face. Death is a stair, a door, a stumbling stride the soul must take to cross from birth to birth, a great defeat pregnant with victory, a whip to lash us towards our deathless state. The inconscient world is the spirit's self-made room, eternal night, shadow of eternal day. Night is not our beginning nor our end. She is the dark mother in whose womb we have hid, safe from too swift a waking to world pain. We came to her from a supernal light. By light we live, and to the light we go. Here in this seat of darkness, mute and lone, in the heart of everlasting nothingness, light conquered now even by that feeble beam. Its faint infiltration drilled the blind, deaf mass. Almost it changed into a glimmering sight that housed the phantom of an aureate sun, whose orb pupilled the eye of nothingness. A golden fire came in and burned night's heart. Her dusky mindlessness began to dream. The inconscient conscious grew, night felt and thought. Assailed in the sovereign emptiness of its reign, the intolerant darkness paled and drew apart, till only a few black remnants stained that grey. But on a failing edge of dumb lost space, still a great dragon body sullenly loomed, adversary of the slow struggling dawn. Defending its ground of tortured mystery, it trailed its coils through the dead martyred air, and curving, fled down a grey slope of time. There is a morning twilight of the gods. Miraculous from sleep, their forms arise, and God's long nights are justified by dawn. There breaks the passion and splendor of new birth, and hue-winged visions stray across the lids, heaven's chanting heralds waken dim-eyed space. The dreaming deities look beyond the scene and fashion in their thoughts the ideal worlds sprung from a limitless moment of desire that once had lodged in some abysmal heart. Past was the heaviness of the eyeless dark, and all the sorrow of the night was dead. Surprised by a blind joy, with groping hands, like one who wakes to find his dreams were true, into a happy, misty, twilight world, where all ran after light and joy and love, she slipped. There far off raptures drew more close, and deep anticipations of delight, forever eager to be grasped and held, were never grasped, yet breathed strange ecstasy. A pearl-winged indistinctness fleeting swam, an air that dared not suffer too much light. Vague fields were there, vague pastures gleamed, vague trees, vague scenes dim-hearted in a drifting haze. Vague cattle white roamed, glimmering through the mist, Vague spirits wandered with a bodiless cry. Vague melodies touched the soul and fled pursued into harmonious distances unseen. Forms subtly elusive and half-luminous powers, wishing no goal for their unearthly course, strayed happily through vague ideal lands, or floated without footing, or their walk left steps of reverie on sweet memory's ground. Or they paced to the mighty measure of their thoughts, led by a low, far chanting of the gods. A ripple of gleaming wings crossed the far sky. Birds like pale-bosomed imaginations flew with low, disturbing voices of desire, and half-heard lowings drew the listening ear, as if the sun god's brilliant kind were in there, hidden in mist and passing towards the sun. These fugitive beings, these elusive shapes, were all that claimed the eye and met the soul, the natural inhabitants of that world. But nothing there was fixed or stayed for long. No mortal feet could rest upon that soil. No breath of life lingered, embodied there. In that fine chaos, joy fled, dancing past, and beauty evaded, settled line and form, and hid its sense in mysteries of hue. Yet gladness ever repeated the same notes and gave the sense of an enduring world. There was a strange consistency of shapes, and the same thoughts were constant passers-by, and all renewed unendingly its charm, alluring ever the expectant heart, like music that one always waits to hear, like the recurrence of a haunting rhyme. One touched incessantly, things never ceased, a skirt of worlds invisibly divine. As if a trail of disappearing stars there showered upon the floating atmosphere, colors and lights and evanescent gleams that called to follow into a magic heaven, and in each cry that fainted on the ear, there was the voice of an unrealized bliss. An adoration reigned in the yearning heart, a spirit of purity, an elusive presence of fairy beauty and ungrasped delight, whose momentary and escaping thrill, however unsubstantial to our flesh and brief even in its imperishableness, much sweeter seemed than any rapture known, earth or all-conquering heaven can ever give. Heaven ever young and earth too firm and old delay the heart by immobility. Their raptures of creation last too long. Their bold formations are too absolute. Carved by an anguish of divine endeavor, they stand up sculptured on the eternal hills, or quarried from the living rocks of God, win immortality by perfect form. They are too intimate with eternal things. Vessels of infinite significances, they are too clear, too great, too meaningful. No mist or shadow soothes the vanquished sight. No soft penumbra of incertitude. These only touched a golden hem of bliss, the gleaming shoulder of some godlike hope, the flying feet of exquisite desires. On a slow, trembling brink between night and day, they shone like visitants from the morning star, satisfied beginnings of perfection, first tremulous imaginings of a heavenly world. They mingled in a passion of pursuit, thrilled with a spray of joy, too slight to tire. All this world was shadowed forth, not limned, like faces leaping on a fan of fire, or shapes of wonder in a tinted blur, like fugitive landscape painting silver mists. Here vision fled back from the sight alarmed, and song and sound sought refuge from the ear's surprise, and all experience was a hasty joy. The joys here snatched were half forbidden things, timorous soul bridles, delicately veiled, as when a goddess' bosom dimly moves to first desire, and her white soul transfigured, a glimmering Aden crossed by fiery gleams, trembles to expectation's fiery wand, but nothing is familiar yet with bliss. All things in this fair realm were heavenly strange, in a fleeting gladness of untired delight, in an insistency of magic change. Past vanishing hedges, hurrying hints of fields, mid swift escaping lanes that fled her feet, journeying she wished no end, as one through clouds travels upon a mountain ridge and hears arising to him out of hidden depths, sound of invisible streams. She walked besieged by the illusion of a mystic space, a charm of bodiless touches, felt and heard, a sweetness as of voices high and dim, calling like travelers upon seeking winds, melodiously with an alluring cry. As if a music old yet ever new, moving suggestions on her heart strings dwelt, thoughts that no habitation found yet clung with passionate repetition to her mind, desires that hurt not, happy only to live, always the same, and always unfulfilled, sang in the breast like a celestial lyre. Thus all could last, yet nothing ever be. In this beauty, as of mind made visible, dressed in its rays of wonder, Satyavan before her seemed the center of its charm, head of her loveliness of longing dreams, and captain of the fancies of her soul. Even the dreadful majesty of death's face and its somber sadness could not darken nor slay the intangible luster of those fleeting skies. The somber shadow, sullen, implacable, made beauty and laughter more imperative. Enhanced by his grey, joy she grew more bright and dear. His dark contrast, edging ideal sight, deepened unuttered meanings to the heart. Pain grew a trembling undertone of bliss, and transience, immortality's floating hem, a moment's robe in which she looked more fair its antithesis, sharpening her divinity. A comrade of the ray and mist and flame, by a moon bright face, a brilliant moment drawn, almost she seemed a thought mid floating thoughts, seen hardly by a visionary mind, amid the white inward musings of the soul. Half vanquished by the dream happiness around, while she moved on an enchantment soil, but still remained possessor of her soul. Above, her spirit in its mighty trance saw all, but lived for its transcendent task, immutable, like a fixed eternal star. End of Canto 1.